from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
And it's Sunday, August 18th, 2019. We're live in studio, as we are every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. I'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., right after David Knight, host the David Knight Show at 8 a.m. Central, Owen Schroer, The War Room, 3 p.m. Central. And there will be some new shows launched September 1st. I'll just leave it at that. I'm really trying to zen out right now and be as calm as I can. Because quite frankly, I know that I'm more effective at getting the truth out when I am calm. And I'm actually pretty calm in my daily life. But when I read all this news and information and I get up on air, there's a real sense of urgency and a real sense to hit it all. There's a report up on Infowars.com and Newswars.com that really deserves to go viral if you care about children. A lot of people ask me, how did I know about Jeffrey Epstein 10 years ago or longer? And how did I know the specifics of how he was into eugenics and transhumanism? Well, they all are. It's a cult. And people thought I must have some secret sources. Greg Reese, one of our great researchers, one of our reporters, investigative journalist, came to me last week and he said, did you know about congressional testimonies with video admitting MKUltra and programs of programming sex slaves and assassins? And I said, yeah, I knew Dr. Ewing Cameron and Jolyon West ran those programs. There's even been History Channel shows. I knew there was congressional reports and even a report put out in 95 by the inspector general admitting that the government ran these programs. But I didn't know there was video. Well, you know, C-SPAN has archived everything going back 30 years now. And folks went in and dug it out. This is Congress interviewing children that were now young adults, who confirm that they were government sex slaves and being trained to be assassins. And the government knows it, it's declassified, and they're in the committee rooms. There's hours of this. The report's only 8.5 minutes long. But later this week, we've got to do a special broadcast or something and air. I mean, there's like 6 hours of this. And these are confirmed foster children and people that were grabbed out of government homes and shipped to Canada and the U.S. to government facilities. It's one thing to read it declassified in 77. These videos, these films from 77 in the Frank Church committee hearings. It's another thing to see these people. So I've got a lot of incredible news here. I've got them growing human organs inside cows and inside monkeys. Now, I told you that 25 years ago because it was in medical reports then. It just wasn't popular knowledge. Was it pop culture? Your new heart could be made in China, grown in a monkey, grown in a cow. Just there it is, see? Oh, Jeffrey Epstein, all these forensic pathologists and experts say, no, you can only do this by somebody breaking your neck or if he was professionally hung, which didn't happen, he was killed. Only 29% of Americans believe Epstein committed suicide. But don't worry, CNN says that's because they're racist. Seriously, that's the new thing. And they say that Trump needs to shut up. Meanwhile, you don't really hear about the news because nobody cares when Muslims blow people up, but Islamic State claims bombing that killed 63. How about Islamic extremism? And the big news. The big, big, big news will hit first on the other side of this 60-second break. The New York Times leaked audio, leaked text, openly planning to trigger race war to bring down Trump as deep state pushes collapse of U.S. economy. These people are organized criminals on foreign payrolls. They're all guilty of treason.
We've got it. This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are in go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
It is Sunday, August 18, 2019. On this live transmission, I'm your host, Alex Jones. And those of you that have found this broadcast on local TV stations or radio stations or who are watching somewhere on the internet like InfoWars.com, you have done it in defiance of Hollywood and the Chi-Coms and the globalists and the deep state. They tell you you're not supposed to listen to this show. And they can't wait till their AI's wired into everything. They think they're going to be able to stop you from being able to find us in the near future. The congressional hearings a month ago where Google and others promised Senator Blumenthal that they'd have me completely off the internet soon. They were working on it. And now Facebook's announcing with its WhatsApp, they're going to go in and read what you're doing and, well, ban you off that if they say you're using the wrong gender pronouns. To quote Tucker Carlson, these people aren't frightening or anything. At the bottom of the hour, I'm going to air a report that is 8.5 minutes long that is beyond critical to get out. It's on InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com. Just went up about an hour ago. We're going to air it here, and then give you the rest of the story. But it's congressional hearings in 1977. This is something I'd never seen. I just read the transcripts of young people that were in admitted sex slave mind control programs to corrupt and blackmail high-powered men, but also to be assigned to them as sex operatives if they needed to be assassinated. This isn't conjecture. This isn't speculation. This is admitted. People keep asking, how'd you know about the blackmail rings? How'd you know about the... Because this is how secret societies have operated for thousands of years. They're just cults of power. They're gangs. The homeless people in California and all over are now forming themselves into gangs and getting more and more aggressive. So from the lowest IQ to the highest IQ, people form themselves into groups. And we face predatory, psychopathic groups. You know, you can go look at the studies that are legion, that are very accurate, because we've all seen it manifested with our own two eyes. But statistically, you might have a psychopath, and it's generally genetic, but some can be artificially created through trauma. That's what this is all about. And maybe one psychopath out of 500, a sociopath out of 20. And this modern culture is producing more sociopaths. Those have genetic tendencies, but it's nature and nurture. But when you look in CEO positions or military commanding positions, there are a lot of accurate estimates and studies that have been done that at least a third of the people are high-functioning, high-IQ psychopaths. Just type in psychopaths in leadership, psychopaths as CEOs, because they don't have the normal feelings we have, and they're willing to do anything. Now, a low-level psychopath wants to grab your daughter out of the backyard and torture him to death for fun. A high-powered one would set up an intelligence agency and test people incrementally until compartmentalized groups had it with men in white lab coats for doing it. And for their country, they abuse the 5-year-old and 3-year-old children to create multiple personalities they can program. It's for the country. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's not for the country. It's for the globalist system. So, I know all this is horrifying. And we don't want this to be the way it is, but it is the way it is. Every culture from ancient Asia to Africa to Latin America to the Druids of Europe would go through cycles where they would get a psychotic priest class in place. Some priest class created aquifers and built buildings and medicine and science and said empower women, empower everyone. That's the Renaissance. That's Christians, real Christians, Christ energy. But in the other systems, it's men that understand how humans work, and they use the fact that they've got gathered ancestral knowledge that's been stored to then use it against everyone else. And there's a predator class above us that sees us as animals that feed on us. And this predator class develops in every culture and tells its inner workings that everyone else is an animal, everyone else is trash. Reportedly, Epstein's Madam Pimp that would round up young children for torture, you name it, it's all coming out. People would say, well, you're treating these little girls really bad, you're hurting them. She'd say, they're trash. They're not even human. So at the bottom of the hour, we're going to play that special report. And you can deny to yourself this exists, but it's already admitted. And I can tell you incontrovertibly, Trump is actively opposing this satanic network and is actively going after them. And we've seen a more than tenfold increase in arrest of pedophiles and their cohorts. And you've seen the top deputy pope, number two to the pope, you know, indicted, running hundreds of small boys. Some of them ended up dead. The Border Patrol stopping the kids pouring across before Obama would say, just let them into charities, don't find out their names. A bunch of them ended up dead. Thousands in sex abuse we know of. This is a giant vampiric feeding frenzy that's going on. And Trump is opposing it, and that's why you see the incredible freakouts. That's why you see all of the meltdowns taking place. And the average leftist has now received the spirit. They have now gotten the average leftist knows all of this and likes it. Because they're seeking after power. And they have delusions of grandeur. And they have been promised power over the earth and over others. And they believe that when Hillary came in and others came into power globally, that it would be their great time to rule. But instead, they're not being given all this power that they're seeking. See, they never had any innate power or connection to God, or they had a connection, they lost it. And so they're seeking to overthrow creation itself because there's not a place for them in that order. It's better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. Now, I will get to it next segment, our top story. I mentioned it earlier. When I read the transcripts Friday when they broke, it's what I already knew. And it's what was already in the WikiLeaks. But it's the head of the New York Times in a 74-minute speech to hundreds of top New York Times operatives. And he says, we're going to shift off Russia. The public doesn't buy it. And we're going to go to race. Well, they've already been on that. But they're going, if you thought there was race baiting and race war garbage before, and they admit, he says, to remove Trump. He says, this will remove him. So Trump lashes out at New York Times, claims it's going on a racism witch hunt, says The Hill. No, there's no claiming it. Netflix, movies, shows, everywhere is white people are inherently bad. Apologize if you're white. It is just incredible. And the head of the New York Times tells his people, he goes, listen, just screaming racism at them doesn't do enough. You've got to write elaborate stories about it. And you've got to edit what Trump says. And he talks about this. And he says, and I apologize that we ran his quote saying we need to decry racism and unify as a country. He goes, we caught it. We took it down. We agree. Nothing positive can be said about Trump. But he says, we can't sucker the public. I mean, I've got the whole transcript right here. Document cam shot, please. Got the whole transcript right here. It's up on Infowars.com. And it's just mind-blowing. So we'll hit it all on the other side. New York Times chief outlines coverage shift from Trump Russia to Trump racism. So they're going into high gear with the divide and conquer leaked audio. New York Times executive editor tells staff to ditch Russia collusion lies, start focusing on Trump's racism. When it's the left invoking race and making it all about race, this is sick. This is evil. And it shows you how crazy 2020 is going to get. So strap yourselves in. Stay with us, Infowars.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media. government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
So, evil people have gotten together throughout history and organized criminal orders, systems of predatory evil, where they test their admittance, their minions, their pawns, and how ruthless and evil they can be. The best way to test that out is getting them to abuse little innocent children. If you get somebody to do that, you can get them to do anything, override their humanity, their soul, their spirit, and their journey to the dark side will be complete. And we sit there and we look at the New York Times, and we look at all CNN, MSNBC, and they're just up there. This is a white supremacist. When he lowered flags because of the shooting in El Paso, it was to Heil Hitler. And you're just like, this doesn't make sense. It's targeting the dumbest people in the country. And it's also creating hysteria where people think that if they don't jump on board with whatever the Democrats say, they're going to be called racist. That's the new religion. That's the system of bullying that these people are inducting everyone into. Now, Trump came out and lashed out at the New York Times, claiming it's going on a racism witch hunt now that the Russiagate has failed. No, ladies and gentlemen, that's not what he claims. That's what they say. I came in here yesterday and did a special report. This was such a big deal. Again, anybody can pull up the transcript. They haven't released the audio. But Slate Magazine is who got it. And you read the transcript, it is unbelievable. The head of the New York Times says to the employees, look, Russia didn't work. We came up flat-footed. These are quotes. We're pivoting to race to remove him from office. They're the ones bringing up race. They're the ones lying. They're the ones dividing. They're the ones doing all of this. And then they've got the nerve to act like it's Trump when he's done nothing but prison reform to get black people out of jail and tried to bring factories to the inner city. It's amazing. But it's beyond a racism witch hunt. They're trying to invoke a civil war. A month before the election, Hillary was in trouble. And it came out in WikiLeaks. She was talking to top professors on her email saying, we need to accelerate the culture war. And the culture war is men against women, women against men, black against white, old against young. It just means divide and conquer. It's how you control a population. I know our audience gets this, but the average leftist really believes they're storming the beaches of Normandy when they go out and hit somebody in the head that has an American flag. Or the incredible videos we're going to play next hour when Joe Biggs, who led the Patriot March successfully in Portland yesterday, joins us. And they're attacking little girls. They're attacking old men. They're pulling down American flags. They're attacking people with hammers in their cars because they believe they're fighting Nazis. But really, the people fighting the Nazis are 98% white. They're very low IQ. They're drug addicts or they're government or university employees out wearing masks. The bad guys trying to destroy the First Amendment and say that conservatives and nationalists and pro-Trump supporters, you can't walk down American streets. You're going to be attacked. And so people that wear American flags and go into these cities like Portland or cities like San Francisco, you get to experience what it's like to be Alex Jones. You get to experience what it's like to be Donald Trump. When they try to attack you, when they try to kill you, and you see how insane and vicious. So now when I walk downtown in Austin, Texas, taken over by rejects from California, they don't drive by and say, F you, you're going to prison, Russian agent. We've caught that on tape many times. Or they walk right up and say it. Now they go, F you, Nazi, die. Die. I'm going to kill you. We kill Nazis. This is mind control. When the so-called authorities, the mainstream media, sit up there in the New York Times and tells you Nazis are everywhere. It's like WMDs in Iraq or the Salem witch trials. It doesn't exist. It's not real. Tucker Carlson is absolutely right. Almost every ragtag white supremacist group, it turns out, is run by the Southern Poverty Law Center. They have a new director at the ADL. They got rid of Abe Foxman a few years ago, who said everyone was a racist and they were losing lawsuits. They were getting caught breaking into police departments. So they have a new director. They've kind of backed off that. I haven't seen the ADL doing that kind of stuff lately, but the Southern Poverty Law Center is worse than the ADL ever was. And they just run around just making stuff up, just like all the Democrats that have been caught staging racial attacks on themselves, not just Smollett. And now Tlaib has come out, and it turns out was offered entry into Israel, but said, I'm coming to protest and call for your destruction. So they said, well, we have a law against that if you're an outsider coming to, say, overthrow the country. So, no, you can't come in. She didn't want to see her grandmother. It was all made up. Another stunt. Oh, hey, Tlaib, they won't let one Palestinian into Saudi Arabia. They won't let one Jew into Saudi Arabia. Oh, but you don't care about that. It's all about how Israel's bad, and that's the litmus test. And, oh, that's the little fetish. If you, oh, attack Israel, then you're on the inside crew and you're cool on the far right and the far left that really meet. In fact, I was never even pro-Israel. I wasn't against Israel. But all the bullying and all the lies that I work for Israel, well, I am pro-Israel. Because the people that hate Israel act like it's one monolithic group. And it's bad, it doesn't have a right to exist. Just like we're told America doesn't have a right to exist and is apartheid-esque, needs to be overthrown. Yeah, Israel's got problems. It's got a bunch of different parties. They kill each other just like we do. But again, this litmus test with a bunch of people who came to this country, like Ilhan Omar, when she can't even go back to her own country, she'd be killed, where they still have slavery. And then she says Israel doesn't have a right to exist. But then she never bitches about Saudi Arabia or all these other countries that are doing things 1,000 times worse than what Israel's done. I mean, like, oh, Israel sometimes puts people in, you know, pressure moves to make them talk. Okay, that's wrong. Saudi Arabia cuts your head off if you're gay. Oh, but not a word out of her. And all I'm saying is communist China's got 1.5 billion people. It's taken over our government. It owns Hollywood. It owns the debt. You go all over the leftist spam stuff. It's Alex Jones is covering up for the Jews. China's not a threat. It's the Jews. Really, is it the Jews invading Hong Kong right now? It's my issue is that it's a cop-out. It's mental illness. These people have no political understanding. They just go, Jews, 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 Jews. And meanwhile, yeah. It's leftist Jews calling for the overthrow of Israel and for my arrest. Oh, no, no, no. And all these right-wingers and left-wingers play to the tune of self-hating leftist Jews. So it's sick. It's just, it's upside-down world, completely insane, and I'm not going to be part of the delusions. But they're trying to cause a race war right now. The globalists are. Welcome back. I am your host, Alex Jones. We are live broadcasting worldwide. Now, next hour, I'm going to get into the transcripts of what the head of the New York Times said about we're going to cause a race war. We're going to overthrow Trump using race. We already know all this, but it's so damn dangerous. All these TV shows and movies about killing Trump supporters because they're all Nazis. They're trying to trigger a civil war, not just a race war. It's very, very dangerous, as the president has said. Now, this is a 8.5-minute report. If you're a radio listener, you can see it and share it at Infowars.com or Newswars.com. Isn't as blacklisted. You can still share it on Twitter and Facebook. Share it via your email, via your text message, whatever you do, word of mouth. Congressional testimony from Clinton era reveals pedophile blackmail network. Now understand, Bill Clinton did a press conference with the government's report admitting it happened. And then this video has congressional testimony of children that were kidnapped and then put into mind control by the government. Theodore Kaczynski, the Unabomber, was in MKUltra. Most of these people are mind-controlled, programmed to be assassins, mass shooters. And this report has it from C-SPAN. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen? Unbelievable. So you want to know the rest of the story on Epstein? He was only one piece of it. Here is the powerful report that will only get past the censors if you spread it. So you've got your mission. Take action, Info Warriors.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming out here tonight to arm yourselves with knowledge about a tool that's being covertly used to usher in what Adolf Hitler and George Bush termed New World Order, and that's mind control.
A new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations.
Trauma-based mind control can be traced back for millennia, but we can find its research in modern times in the Tavistock Institute of London and the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute of Germany. The Nazis were studying occult families engaged in multi-generational sexual abuse of children. They found that abused children were receptive to external mind control and could develop enhanced physical abilities such as photographic memory, physical stamina, and up to 44 times visual acuity. They were raising children in laboratories to create a super race of humans. Operation Paperclip was a secret program where the U.S. imported more than 1,600 Nazi scientists after World War II. Some of whom went on to continue their work in trauma-based mind control. This information first made its way into the public on August 3, 1977, during congressional hearings into the CIA's MKUltra mind control program. It is interesting to note that Dr. Louis Julian West, a leading expert in the CIA's MKUltra program, was also the lead psychiatrist for Jack Ruby, Patty Hearst, Sirhan Sirhan, and Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh. In 1988, CIA agent Mark Phillips rescued Kathy O'Brien from the MKUltra program. They provided documented testimony for the U.S. House of Representatives Select Committee on Intelligence Oversight in 1995. But for reasons of national security, she was not able to address the congressional committee, so she became a whistleblower.
I was born in 1957 in Muskegon, Michigan, to a multi-generational incest-based family. This means my father was sexually abused as a child, my mother was sexually abused as a child, and they were sexually abusing me. The sexual abuse that I was enduring was so horrific that I developed dissociative identity disorder. It certainly was incomprehensible. There was no place for it in my mind to deal with such horror. Therefore, I developed a compartment in my brain, a little area behind amnesic barriers that was actually the neuron pathway shutting down in my brain in order to compartmentalize the memory of abuse so that the rest of my mind could function normally as though nothing had happened. This criminal faction of our government was so interested in dissociative identity disordered persons, they knew that any child that was subjected to child pornography had to have endured trauma so horrible that they had to be suffering from that disorder. Therefore, this criminal faction of our government sanctioned this child pornography ring so that they could identify and target children such as myself for the project.
Whistleblower Bryce Taylor has made very similar claims. Kathy O'Brien claimed that her handler, former Klansman and Senator Robert Byrd, was in complete control of her and directed her to have sex with powerful members of society and politics, including Bill and Hillary Clinton.
It was my experience that Bill Clinton is bisexual, leaning far more towards a homosexual end. All I've ever seen him involved in was the homosexual activity, with very limited experience with him myself. Whereas my experience was much more prevalent with Hillary Clinton, because Hillary is also bisexual, leaning more towards a homosexual end, and it was she who accessed my sex programming to fulfill her perversions.
In 1995, President Bill Clinton's Advisory Committee on Human Radiation Experimentation included testimonies from Congress from child victims involved in trauma-based mind control, who claimed they were tortured and kept in cages when they were small children.
I was a subject in radiation as well as mind control and drug experiments performed by a man I knew as Dr. Green. His objective was to gain control of my mind and train me to be a spy assassin. I was in what looked like a laboratory and there seemed to be other children. I was strapped down, naked, spread eagle, on a table, on my back. Dr. Green moved on to wanting me to kill dolls that looked like real children. He often tied me down in a cage, which was near his office.
And claimed they were used to sexually blackmail powerful politicians when they were only 9 years old.
I became a pawn in a government scheme whose ultimate goal was mind control and to create the perfect spy, all for the use of chemicals, radiation, drugs, hypnosis, electric shock, isolation in tubs of water, sleep deprivation, brainwashing, verbal, physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. I can only summarize my circumstances by saying they took an already abused 7-year-old child and compounded my suffering beyond belief. The saddest part is, I know for a fact that I was not alone. There were countless other children in my same situation, and there was no one to help us. I was sent to a lodge in Maryland called Deep Creek Cabins to learn how to sexually please men. I was taught how to coerce them into talking about themselves, and it was Richard Helms, who was deputy director of the CIA, Dr. Gottlieb, Captain George White, Morris Allen, who all planned on filming as many high government agency officials and heads of academic institutions and foundations as possible. I was used to entrap many unwitting men, including themselves, all with the use of a hidden
camera. Okay, let's fade this down. We got to go to break, but I want to come back and finish with this, and I want to explain something. Greg Reach did a great job. He found congressional testimony video of this, but I want to add something. It's in the report that Bill Clinton obnoxiously gets up and admits and apologizes for, when clearly he's been involved in all this. It's now come out. He's like, you got to know your government's going to take care of you. We're sorry about this. These people were confirmed to be in the program. And so we're going to do a part two on this that should be done middle of week, because I even pulled it up myself last night because I remember all this research. People ask how I know all this. It's public. Over 10,000 foster children were taken by Ewing Cameron, Dr. Ewing Cameron, in Jolly and West. This is declassified. They've had History Channel shows about it 20 years ago. They don't put that on anymore. But it's declassified that they would do electroshock, wipe out their memories and put them on drugs, send them 6 months with audio programming going in till they were totally new people with different personalities that you could put information into. Then you could send them to the Soviet Union to infiltrate. No one would know. Someone knows the keyword. It opens up the new personality. The brain's an incredible computer. And this is just a form of genetic, organic cybernetics, but it's all based on trauma. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Report is up on InfoWars.com. Congressional testimony from Clinton era reveals pedophile blackmail network. And now, of course, that makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? With Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, he had all these famous scientists and famous foundation heads, and he was getting them to the Albert Einstein Institute, and then he was taking them to these big hotel-like compounds in New Mexico and in New York and all over the world. And in the Mediterranean, Caribbean, oh, it's all coming out, not just here, but in Europe. And then you just heard congressional testimony of young women when they were children, age 8, programmed, drugged, electroshocked to service the heads of academia and the heads of government to compromise them for the criminal group that had taken over the Central Intelligence Agency. So here's that video.
Who all planned on filming as many high government agency officials and heads of academic institutions and foundations as possible. I was used to entrap many unwitting men, including themselves, all with the use of a hidden camera. I was only 9 years old.
I was only 9 years old.
After the hearings, Bill Clinton began his speech with the NLP technique, the three-time convincer.
That at the very least, they could trust the United States government to tell the truth and to do the right things. None of these efforts can succeed unless people believe that they can rely on their government to tell them the truth and to do the right thing. And to all those who represent the families who have been involved in these incidents, let me say to you, I hope you feel that your government has kept its commitment to the American people to tell the truth and to do the right thing.
He offered an apology to the victims and financial compensation, but there was no investigation and no media coverage of the child victim testimony. Jeffrey Epstein is nothing new. Epstein was just a spoke in an ancient wheel. Keith Raniere was running the same operation with the Nixium cult. It runs through Hollywood, our government, pop culture, and our universities. If we cannot change this, then the corruption we see in politics will never change. For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I think you might want to get that report out to your friends, your family, your email list, your text message. I mean, I know they tell you, don't promote Alex Jones or bad things will happen. And or what will your family say if you're promoting this evil guy that's exposed all of this? The truth is, I'd love to tell you that I'm some super rocket scientist. I just made it my point of study to study the real history of the world, the real history of the U.S., and how these criminal networks operate. And these criminal networks are operating all over the world because they're psychopaths. And they can find an army of sociopaths that will serb them. And they're very emotionalist. They're very cold-blooded. See, I'm very, very hot-blooded. I really care. I'm really upset by this. Because if you let these people run things, we are, as a culture, dead. And we are spiritual creatures, and that means these evil people are being put in charge by a very wicked force that formulaically tortures children, that formulaically corrupts others, and then externalizes its method. Other stacks of news today. They're down to 5-year-olds now that strip dance at gay bars. Well, they're pedophile bars. They are human-animal clones all over the place. It's all being announced. Just killing babies after they're born. It's all just being thrown in our face to sear our conscience and to train us and prepare us to put up with even greater horrors. And now we see groups of armed goons strutting around the United States and Europe, beating up people that have their nation's flags and people that believe in sovereignty and people that oppose the globalists. And you openly have the Chinese government financing Hollywood and financing the left and financing demoralizing our country with this vicious, poisonous venom that is their system. And the average person is more lonely. The average person has less friends. The average person has a lower IQ. I know so many people personally now that used to be smart who are like in a mesmerized state. People are either getting more awake and more alive or they're becoming more and more under the spell. What is a spell? An ancient name for a trance. An ancient name for being hypnotized, being programmed, being under their sway. Humanity is being taken out of its natural environment, not to empower it, but to destroy it. And the globalists admit they want a one-world government, transhumanist gods they're going to worship. There's a post-human era. We have to get rid of the humans before we transcend and become gods. We're told this in Childhood's End, written in the 1950s by Illuminist and MI6 and OSS high-level initiate. And then you just move on from there. They're telling you that everybody has to die before you merge and become gods. And then on Epstein and the island and the fact that he had all the foundation heads and they were into eugenics and transhumanism and master races and breeding and underground bunkers. Well, go watch Dr. Strangelove, 1964. The CIA came to Stanley Kubrick and said, how do you know about Plan R? And how do you know about the machine that gives them the orders when the radio frequencies hit it? And Kubrick told him, I'm psychic. I've seen. He's a remote viewer. And I'm not talking about the fake remote viewers out there. I've talked to the family. I've talked to others. Kubrick was not going to the satanic rituals. Kubrick was not seeing the nuclear attack plan scramblers. He was literally envisioning it. I was told that by his daughter. And I already knew that from people at the Pentagon. And he was so psychic that he just couldn't even be around people anymore. Went hidden in the countryside of England because Kubrick picked up on everything else that everybody else was doing. And they tried to recruit him, but they didn't get him because Kubrick wouldn't be involved in the abuse of children. And boy, did they come after him because they wanted him to be on their team. And that's what The Shining's all about. Is there's a hotel that's psychically possessed, and there's an old black man that doesn't even know this family, but he's having psychic inclinations. He's got to go to that hotel and stop what was about to happen. And so everything Kubrick's telling you is what he experienced. And the truth is the globalists know there's this internet of the mind. They know that psychic powers are real. And they know that everybody has them to a certain extent. And that's our connection to the spiritual. God's real. The devil's real. The dimensions are all real. And they want to get children when they're young, torture the hell out of them, so they form multiple personalities that they can then program and control. And that's only part of it, ladies and gentlemen. And now these very same wicked, wicked globalists are trying to start a race war in this country. And they're allied with communist China that, again, will do any human cloning, any genetic manipulation, humanoids killing 100 plus million of their own people. The sky's the limit with these people. They admire those who are totally wicked and devoid of any basic decency and that will do anything. I suggest if you're watching and listening, you realize the enemy wants this off the air because we're telling you the truth. And we're here for a reason. There's not just evil in this universe, there's good as well. You've got my full commitment that I'm the opposite of a psychopath. I 100% feel all of this, and I can't stand it. And I can see what the globalists are up to with my own eyes, my own political understanding, my own geopolitical research, my own historical grasp, my own street smarts, but there's another element to it. I can see them. I see their operations. So while they're encased in their fortresses, and they're trying to build an omnipresent grid to surveil us and know our dreams. If we just know God, we already know all our dreams. We're already on that stairway to enlightenment. We're already touching God's foot. And the enemy is enraged by that because they're cut off from God and they can't stand it. So they want to grab children and rape them and torture them and turn them into little robot slaves. But they may program the mind. They can't touch that soul. We'll be back with hour number two of the global transmission. Infowars.com, Newswars.com, Joe Biggs, triumphant with the great folks in Portland. All the backstory on that. Hour two. You don't want to miss it. Hillary hopes you do. Two segments, we showed you congressional testimony and a U.S. government inspector general report admitting that children were radiated, in some cases to death. You know all about the injecting black people with syphilis, the Tuskegee experiment. It turned out they were injecting everybody else with it as well, but they thought, put it out, we're doing it for blacks first, then it won't be as big a deal. Talk about institutional racism, injecting somebody with that, but oh, they're the liberals. They're the institutional government officials. But coming up, we're going to have Joe Biggs on after a really great success yesterday. And and a close look at Antifa and the crimes they committed and the fact that even AP had to admit that they were the violent ones, the worm is turning very, very quickly. But expanding on that, remember when the media tells you not to look at Epstein being murdered? We just told you he would be hung in a cell, probably 50 times. We even talked about they're betting on it in Europe, in England, where it's legal to bet on anything. But now, even though you've got forensic pathologists coming out saying, oh, look, this is indicative of murder, even though you've got the stand down and new jail guards brought in and all the rest of it, why CNN and MSM and the rest of them are telling you, don't you dare think he got murdered. This all smacks of desperation and a threat to those that they were afraid will speak out. It's a message. So here's part of that boil down.
Trump has reacted to Epstein's death in what is sadly a very unsurprising way. He is spreading a conspiracy theory.
Tying the death of pedophile Jeffrey Epstein in prison to the president's former political rivals, the Clintons.
The president retweeting a theory without evidence that implicates the Clintons in Epstein's death.
Let that sink in. This would be like Gerald Ford or Jimmy Carter or Ronald Reagan claiming that LBJ had Kennedy killed.
Now, the president is helping to spread an outrageous false story about Epstein's death being tied to the Clintons.
Shortly after Jeffrey Epstein was found dead in his jail cell, President Trump retweeted this video from a conservative commentator.
For some odd reason, people that have information on the Clintons end up dead. And they usually die from suicide.
It's appalling. I mean, there's no other way to put it. You have the president of the United States retweeting an unfounded conspiracy theory with, pardon me, with no evidence to back it up, about a former president of the United States.
We have a president now whose Twitter feed is a chief source of disinformation.
This is another example of our president using this position of public trust to attack his political enemies with unfounded conspiracy theories.
Some extraordinary conspiracy theories.
Conspiracy theories.
Conspiracy theories.
Conspiracy theories.
Conspiracy theories.
Conspiracy theories.
Conspiracy theory. Untrustworthy and ridiculous, baseless conspiracy theories.
The president of the United States is pushing a dangerous and completely unfounded murder conspiracy theory about his predecessor.
But do you think it's dangerous?
What he's doing is dangerous.
Republican Marco Rubio agrees it's dangerous.
It's dangerous.
Danger's my middle name.
Dangerously claiming that Epstein was murdered by the Clintons?
But there is no evidence at all to support the conspiracy theory the president is fueling. Marco Rubio says there is evidence Russian bots are now pushing this new conspiracy theory online to further divide Americans.
All three of us, if we tweeted stuff like this in this reckless fashion, we would likely lose our jobs.
Bathhouse Rubio, totally compromised. There's nothing wrong with the fact that, you know, he's been lighting the loafers. He just shouldn't be compromised. Coming up later, I'll get into this whole graphic we have of the Clinton body count. But you heard CNN. They said just there's nothing backing that up. And then they didn't back that up. We back it all up. And no one is buying it, ladies and gentlemen. So it's not even the Clinton body count. The Clintons are just a tentacle. You know, like It the Clown's really just a tentacle of a big intergalactic vampiric spider. And It the Clown's just the tongue, like an anglerfish. Oh, hi, I'm a clown. Hey, how you doing, Georgie? That's the Clintons. Like, oh, hi. Yeah. Oh, I'm so liberal. I love you. Oh, come closer, children. They're going to see a lot of stuff, clowns and balloons, and you'll float too.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
You know, Yoda once said, for the Jedi, there is time to eat as well. And that's fiction. And I'm here to tell you, as a patriot, there's time to celebrate our victories as well. And we should do that more. I want to just say something about Trump. If you could imagine the cultural and the spiritual and the psychic attack he's under, and how everyone around him, everyone that supports him, has been absolutely stalked and lied about. and harassed and demonized and audited and indicted and killed in some cases. So I really sit back in this instant gratification culture. And I get mad at Trump sometimes because I want to win. My engine over revs. And I get mad at things he's done because it wasn't exactly how I'd do it. But the rage the globalists have for Trump, and they're pouring out of attacks and lies and their internal emails that come out and all of it, it's real. Trump is 100% for real. Now, a Bengal tiger in the forest of northern areas of India, it's real too. It just means he's his own man, he has his own vision, and he's pro-human. He's pro-human. He has that human destiny, he has that will, he wants to procreate, not just children, but success, and feels his destiny's tied to humanity because it is. Any real man wants prosperity. Any real man wants to empower others. Anyone that's confident and strong and virile doesn't look at weak people and want to kill them. You want to empower them. Oh, Trump's totally real. And he's got all the power, all the focus, all the psychic energy, all of the connectedness and the gut level subconscious supercomputer that all these think tanks and all these collections of cowards and all these people who just run around and go with where the wind blows and goes where the biggest paycheck comes from, they fear him. And that incredible Zen statement he made, I'm paraphrasing, I'm trying to pull the quote up. Trump said, the most important thing I ever realized in my life was that my first impressions are best and that being shallow is the deepest thing in my life. Now I'm butchering and paraphrasing. Can you guys pull up Trump's quote on being shallow? That's all the genetic memory. That's all of the understanding. That's all of the first approximation of your supercomputer is the best analysis it's got. And then you're supposed to know that's the best analysis and then war game it and say, am I being deceived? Are they projecting something? But 9 times out of 10, it's the gut that knows. Let me give you an example of this. I can sit there. I'm going to videotape this sometime. I mean, I've shown you me shooting Coke cans at 500 yards and stuff. I mean, I'm a really good shot. But the point is that it's when I let go, I never miss. When I try, I miss. But I can sit there in my yard with a dart thing hanging on the tree. I'll put cans of, you know, like LaCroix soda water up there. And I'll say, watch this. I'm not going to try. 30 feet, hit the can. I can try with 20 throws, focusing, can't hit the can. I had Pat Riley over at the house last week, and I said, watch this. The cat's sitting in the yard over there 40 feet away. I'm going to bounce this golf ball perfectly and hit the cat in the head. Not being mean, it has to be a live animal. There's some kind of connection to like that hunting energy we had and the geometry and the calculations that it's something about hunting. It needed to be live. It didn't hurt the cat. It kind of didn't hit the head. It hit him in like the back, but so I was 1 inch off. And I bounced the ball perfectly, hit the cat. I said, now let's get the darts. And I was like Obi-Wan Kenobi talking to Luke Skywalker. And I said, don't try to hit the can. And as soon as he stopped trying, he hit the can. Now I said, watch this, threw one time at the can. Let's just say Pat was impressed. But I'm not telling you all that to impress you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you all that because the globalists know how powerful you are. You've all got that power. And it's not some mitochondrial DNA force stuff from, you know, Hollywood. They're just trying to create a cosmology that you already instinctively know about yourself so that you believe they're giving you all the answers because you already had the answers. Humans, thousands of years ago, envisioned flying machines. We built them. People 200 years ago envisioned DNA and computers. We built them because we envisioned them. That's why most of these globalists and people think, oh, we must have been seated here and given a program to do this. How do we already know all this? It's because we already are dialed into the whole universe. Now, I'm going to go to break, come back with Joe Biggs the rest of the hour, and I appreciate him joining us. But I want to talk about some of the successes of humanity and then realize the losers that have seized control of the planet, they're yesterday's news very, very soon. They're not going to stand in the way of humanity. It's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. But I'm telling you, we're going to make it through this with God's help. Now, let me give you the good news. We go to break. Come back with Joe Biggs. Your TV viewer, look at that photo. That photo was up for today on DrudgeReport.com. Can we go full screen with the HD of it? And it looks like something that has that iconography of when they raise the flag the Marines do over Iwo Jima. And I'm not comparing what the Proud Boys and others did to that. They wouldn't either. But it has that same true Americana flair. And I sat there because I have a Getty's account. We pay for it. And I spent about 30 minutes last night looking at hundreds of photos, and they were all so iconic. The people all were smiling. They were happy. They were black. They were Hispanic. They were white. They were old. They were young. But let me tell you something. They were men. And they had a camaraderie and a joyousness, even though they'd been told by the feds you're going to get arrested and by Portland police we're going to come after you. And they knew that there was three or four times all the meth head government employees, scumbag professors waiting with poles and weapons and pepper spray and all of it. But they knew they were just going to march in, plant the American flag, exercise their First Amendment in defiance of the tyrants. And you look at that photo, they marched in there and they planted that flag in the middle of the park and let Antifa know, we stand for the First Amendment, and you will not silence us, you bullies. Then they marched back, crossed the bridge to another state, and they went and had a barbecue and had a great time together. And that's what it's all about, is having a good time at the same time and not letting the enemy grind us down or grind us down. And even AP, I'll cover this when we come back, had to admit, okay, the Proud Boys didn't attack anybody. They were gentlemen. The left attacked them, and the left attacked anybody. The AP says anybody that they thought might be a Trump supporter. They just, anybody walking out of a grocery store with an American flag hat got punched in the face. You think about that. Gangs of thugs running around delusional, believing they're fighting the Nazis when they're wearing black like the Nazis. They work for George Soros, the Nazi collaborator. I've got all these videos coming up with them attacking little girls, chasing families down like wolves. It's horrifying. You watch orcs chasing down hobbits, you know, in a Lord of the Rings. It's fiction, but you still are on the hobbit's side. This was really happening, ladies and gentlemen. These people have no bottom. They tasered and threw bottles at a little girl, but the taser didn't go in. And that's in the news. 10-year-old girls being tasered by the anti-fascist, and then all the big news channels, other than AP, ABC, NBC, CNN, all saying, oh, the Nazis came, and we were all nonviolent, and they attacked us. They had signs up saying, the Nazis are coming to kill you. And then the people attacking were attacking brown people. White people and black people. There's a guy right there, Hispanic fellow. Pepper spray. And the weird thing about Antifa is they're such cowards, they always target people in wheelchairs or on crutches or children. Imagine being so soulless that you have no form of God fear. And they're compelled to attack children instead of compelled to protect children because that's their ethos. It's their engine. It's their spirit. They come to kill, steal, and destroy. And if they can destroy the children, they believe they've destroyed the future. But they are already failing. Welcome back to this live Sunday, August 18, 2019, Global Transmission. If you're watching on TV, you see this key infographic. Clinton body count hasn't been updated with Jeffrey Epstein or dozens of others, but it's in the hundreds. If you look at the really big lists that are out there. But forensic pathologist says Epstein's fractures are the mark of murder. Only 29% of Americans believe that he committed suicide. Epstein prison guards not cooperating with the DOJ. They were held again in a city-run facility. But CNN says Bob Barr, Robert Barr, they're saying the attorney general is the guy that's got to be looked at. I always say Bob Barr. I want to go to our guest here. I want to go to Joe Biggs. And if you're a TV viewer, again, let's put full screen this iconic photo, beautiful Old Glory, designed by George Washington, sewed together by Betsy Ross, the great abolitionist, one of the top abolitionists in the country against slavery. That's why they say that it needs to be taken down, because it's for slavery that Betsy Ross was a slaver. The left hates her. They hate Martin Luther King because they were Republicans. And later, the party that developed out of the Republicans came out of George Washington. But as you can see right here, Thomas Jefferson founded the Democrats. He was a pretty good guy, but you see this photo, it's just beautiful, and they achieved what their main mission was. And Joe Biggs talked about that, the interviews up on Infowars.com when he was, you know, fresh away from the area there in Portland, Oregon, at a nearby park, and he joined us, and he joins us now for the balance of the hour. Look at these headlines. Antifa causes disturbances long after most Proud Boys leave Portland rally. And the Washington Examiner gets it right, but even AP reported that Antifa basically tore the town up after they left. Antifa attacks a little girl and her father. But, Joe, you're saying you got what you wanted. So, again, Joe Biggs, a former Infowars.com reporter. I'm very proud he went off and did his own thing. I encouraged him to do it. And he's got his own vision, which I agreed with, and now he's had a huge success. And I appreciate everybody holding while I covered that last segment. But I would call this a big success. You guys went in, you planted the flag, you had your stuff together, and even went crazy, illustrating they are a terrorist group. So, Joe and crew, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it, Alan.
So you guys have the floor for the next three segments. Got a great crew there with you. I mean, tell us the takeaway from this, the iconography. You know, you're the Americans that are pro-free speech against these terrorists that are anti-free speech.
Well, it's hilarious. A lot of these headlines on videos and articles say Proud Boys clash with Antifa. There was no clashing at all. We never clashed with them at all. We met peacefully under a bridge right beside a fire station, and everyone showed up on buses. Then we marched, like we said we were going to do, out to the waterfront park. We did the Iwo Jima style, you know, flag post into the ground, said a prayer. Enrique and I spoke a little bit. And then we went back over to Vancouver, Washington, and partied till like 4 in the morning. I mean, we had a blast. And this was a big troll on the left and Ted Wheeler. You know, they've been promoting this idea that we're going to come in with bats and guns and kill people to a point where I even get sued by the leader of Antifa in Portland, Oregon yesterday, saying that he fears for his life, that I'm going to come over there and kill him yesterday. So they just built up this entire hateful, fearful environment. And we just kind of went in there like cool, calm, collected adults, did our thing and walked off and had one hell of a time as we sat back and watched the news. We watched Antifa attack their own city, their own people. And it's proved the entire point of why we went there is that they have a huge criminal element in Portland. And Ted Wheeler's not willing to do anything about it. And these guys are running amok, destroying their own city, beating up little girls. It's disgusting. Beating up journalists, beating up old men.
And again, for TV viewers and radio listeners, introduce some of these other folks in the room, and we'll start getting their take on things as well, Joe.
All right, so we got Rufio Pan Man right here, the man. Enrique Tarrio. Brad Chadford in the back.
Hey. USA.
Yeah, she wanted to introduce herself, so I'm going to let her do it. We got Joseph Oakman. Zach Scott. A lot of these guys here helped us organize this.
I want to get all their takes on this when we come back. But, I mean, Joe, this was really dangerous because these are terrorists you're up against. You had the FBI tell you, visit your family, and you tell you not to go. And you weren't trying to stir up trouble. You never were. They're saying conservatives can't be on the streets of America. Don't let any Trump supporter rest. Harass the members of Congress who are pushing this. You had to do this. You know, it's like the sheriff in a corrupt town in the old days saying, you know, we don't allow outsiders here. Or like black folks going in and sitting at the lunch counter or at the front of the bus. You did the same thing. You had people telling you as Americans, as veterans, you're not welcome to march here. So you had to do this, and you did it successfully with your you-know-what together, and then they acted like monsters, which is exactly what you plan to illustrate.
Yes, exactly. The whole point was to bait them out of the shadows, have them out there in the light where the world could see, and they did it. Hook, line, and sinker. We carried them, baited them out there, and they did it. And none of us got hurt. None of us got arrested. We had one hell of a time in Portland yesterday. It was good.
I got to tell you, yeah, none of your main group, but when a few folks tried to go home, that's when they caught them in parking lots and things. Have you seen, I mean, obviously you've seen the shocking video of them beating up old men, taking their American flags away, attacking what looks like little girls. I mean, this is shocking footage.
Throwing hammers at people. That's another one. That was huge.
Yeah, one of the buses, they were the last ones out because I got a call from our liaison officer. When that yellow school bus and that black bus pulled out of there, Antifa started throwing hammers at it. They ripped open the door, started spraying bear spray in there. And at one point, they were shattering the glass. One of the girls that was riding in it, I interviewed her. She was covered in blood because they were throwing glass, beating stuff, hammers through the windows. And it got to a point where they couldn't see because of the spray in there. And one guy said he had to just like start punching blindly just to keep people out of there because they were trying to get on the bus and rip people off into the street where they can then just be, you know, beaten.
We just showed the footage of them chasing him. But yeah, there's the footage of them trying to pour in and the guys fighting like three of them off. It's just it's totally un-American. It's dangerous.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, look, this is what we wanted the world to see. And the world got to see it on every channel, in every article, on every YouTube thing. We expose Antifa for what they are. We put an entire global spotlight on this problem. And now it's up to President Donald Trump, man, to get this job done. Label them a domestic terrorist organization. Let's get these anti-masking laws put in place throughout the country. And this is going to deter a lot of this stuff from happening. We get this done, Antifa will be a thing in the past. You won't see it anymore.
Well, we've got a bunch of these clips we're going to play next segment. And the mic's okay, but as long as you're up close. So as we talk to each person, Joe, they're going to need to probably get where you're at. Or if you have an external mic, let's try to plug that baby in. Because I want to talk to each and every one of these great people that I see there in the background. I'm in a while since I had Rufio on. He's awesome. Everybody's awesome. We'll play some of the clips of you guys in the past being attacked like Rufio. And then, you know, he knocks a couple of them out. And the media says that's wrong. They're trying to hit Rufio with an extendable metal baton that you can kill people with. He dodges it, knocks the guy out, and then he's the bad guy. Yeah, there's one of the shots, but there's the one where they try to attack him with the baton. And again, the American flag flapping in the background. Hollywood could not come up with footage that is dramatic as this. So we'll cover it all with Joe Biggs, who said, look, I'm sick of watching him attack all these people. I'm going to go there a month ago. He went there yesterday. Close to 500, 600 people showed up. They marched in, planted the American flag, and it is really exposed just how terrorist Antifa is and how they're anti-American. And the shooter in Ohio was Antifa. Evidence is mounting the shooter in Texas was Antifa. The big next threat is them staging false flags. We'll be right back. Infowars.com. Tomorrow's news today.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
So despite all the threats of they were going to have guns, they were going to have ball bearings, they were going to kill them, they've already thrown concrete at people and steel clubs, the police protect Antifa. But 500-plus patriots or more ended up showing up. National news, the president tweeting. The police had to do their job, which they've been asking the mayor to do. And Antifa then rioted once the Proud Boys and the patriots left. True cowards. But if you want to know who the left fears most, it's red-blooded Americans who may have different skin color but love liberty and are proud of this country. And there's nothing wrong with being proud of this nation. They're trying to demoralize us and make us hate ourselves. It's not going to work. But now with the internal New York Times documents coming out 2 days ago that they plan to cause a race war. We already knew this, but it's all there. 74 minutes. The whole transcript saying Russiagate didn't work. Let's go with race war. And so now we're looking at a snapshot of how to counter these people, how to not let them control the narrative. No one is more protected than Antifa by media and by stay-behind groups and embedded groups in the government. So the White House is watching right now, obviously. Joe Biggs, this segment, the next, I kind of want to give you the floor to traffic cop some of these great folks that are, you know, were there, these great Americans. So start introducing us to some of these people.
All right, so I got with me right here, Rufio Panman. You guys all know him from a lot of these videos out in the streets where he's been protesting in Portland against Antifa. You know, what was your thoughts of yesterday? You know, like what happened and all that?
Well, overall, I thought it was really encouraging to see everybody come out, regardless of all the threats and all the scare tactics, fear tactics they're putting out there. You could tell the mayor was really trying hard when he put out all those arrests for prior rallies that had happened there. to try and scare off everybody. And it worked to some extent, but we had a lot of good-hearted, good-spirited Americans come out yesterday that, you know, we all had a good time, and Antifa showed their true colors, and that's all I could ask for.
Yeah, I mean, it was really interesting, too, to see Mayor Ted Wheeler come out yesterday evening, too, and just frightened. I mean, like, he's like, this cost us $2 million, and we didn't get any bloodshed. Like, it seemed like Ted Wheeler wanted there to be blood, and he wanted us to be the ones that were arrested, when all it was Antifa showing their actual true colors. They're the ones that got arrested. They're the ones.
And you wouldn't have had to be there if they didn't tell the world there's no free speech in Portland.
Yeah, Ted Wheeler says, I don't want Joe Biggs back in Portland ever. Well, guess what? If you don't do your job, I'm coming back again and again and again. And we'll continue to do it, Ted Wheeler, until you aren't elected again or until you actually do something about Antifa.
Even the reporter, Mr. No, caught dozens of assaults. Once you guys left, they would follow people back to their cars. But what about what we don't see? We always know that we only see like 1% on camera what really happened. What else went on, Rufio and Joe Biggs, that we didn't see?
I mean,
one of the iconic things, I guess, would be that bridge. You know, that bridge always gets closed down for these events. They said that's the first time they've ever opened up that lane and allowed someone to cross over it on foot. They said that was a pretty big moment. Even the police and a lot of the other professional photographers that cover these events in Portland, they said it's never been done before. And I guarantee you that's because we cooperated with the police. We kind of scared them a bit, throwing them a really weird route that Enrique came up with. And they thought that we were going to have all these crazy routes going through these Antifa parks. But we didn't. We came out there and let them know that we were just, you know, screwing around with them.
What do you make of these cowards as soon as you left, following a few people to their cars, watching them attack that little girl and they taser her, but it doesn't go in? I mean, those guys need to be charged with attempted murder.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these guys came out with tons of weapons. The police came to our side and made sure that we only had flagpoles made with PVC pipe. So I'm curious as to what happened on that side. Did police not go through there and disarm them? Well, obviously not. You know, we're the ones that are compliant. We're the ones that have to be disarmed. Yet these guys, you know, run around like rabid animals, and they're allowed to bring in hammers, bear mace, and all this stuff, and really hurt people.
Well, you guys have incredible restraint. I mean, I go back to Rufio where they're trying to hit him with metal batons and stuff, and then he's the bad guy. Whatever ended up happening to Joey Gibson, I know he got arrested for no reason.
He was released. He was actually at the rally with us, having a good time as well with his crew. Like I said, you know, we're used to dealing with a lot of these extremists, and because, you know, we had a good group of people and the cops actually were trying to do their job, at least on our side during our rally. You know, we didn't have to deal with any of that. We got to enjoy ourselves and really just focus on the message.
I mean, I got
to
say, you guys pulled off 100%, but I think all glory goes to God. I know you guys prayed, right, Joe, before the event?
Before and right, once we got into the field, before we planted the flag, we had another prayer, you know, and everyone took a knee. We got down there, you know, and really thank God for this opportunity, for this worldwide stage, you know, and it was truly a blessing, you know. I've been nervous for days just with the weight of all this, you know. You hear all this stuff, mass arrest, you know, everyone's saying, don't come here, we're going to kill you, blah, 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 you know, and as the organizer, like, that's a lot on me, because, I mean, if someone gets hurt, that's something I'm going to have to live with for the rest of my life. And I was just like, please, God, you know, like, let us go in here. Let us do what we got to do. Let's get out. No one gets hurt. No one gets in trouble. And let's send a message. And we did it. And I mean, I couldn't ask for a better event, a better group of patriots beside me, behind me, helping me out. I mean, this has just been an amazing time.
It's beautiful. Okay, let's bring Enrique in here. I'm not supposed to say Enrique. I can barely speak even Texan. But I've had this guy on the show before. He's awesome. Enrique, if I'm saying it now right. Am I saying it right? Are you going to punch me in the face?
Enrique.
Enrique.
Right. I did say it right. See, you guys are telling me to say it different. You're awesome being here with us. Give us your take on what you saw.
I think one of the biggest reasons for our success coming into Saturday is we went with an approach of Saturdays for the Boys. We went with smiles on our faces and love in our hearts. I couldn't have done this. All of us couldn't have done this without the six organizers that put this together. Joe, Oak, Rufio, Mateo, and big shout out to Jacob Engels. He couldn't be with us this weekend because he was working with Mr. Stone, but he helped us big time on the media front. We've been planning this for 2 months, getting it together, planning every single detail, every single deviation.
It's been very fluid, moving with the law enforcement's been saying and all that.
Kenrake, what was it like, though? You see these iconic photographs and things, but you really see a spirit of brotherhood and humanity there, and how loving and open and strong you guys are. I'm sorry. You look at Antifa, they look like somebody threw a bunch of you-know-what up against the wall.
Yeah, and that's the biggest reason why our brotherhood is so successful. We're really tight-knit. We work together. We talk to each other every day. And going back to that, the planning phase was so amazing because we have such a good relationship, such a tightly wound relationship. And we think of our guys first.
I mean, we do events like every other day. We're always at this point like brothers and sisters. I mean, we're a family.
We've, in the past 60 days, I've been home probably about 5 days in a row.
Yeah.
And we just continue to do this, and we planned this very well. We were in communication with the Portland PD. That relationship was great up until, 2 days before the event. That relationship went sour, not because of the Portland PD, because they did an amazing job. But what we saw was a difference in communication between what the PD was telling us and what Ted Wheeler was putting out. And we caught wind of an attempt on mass arrests on our side. So we couldn't put a risk on our guys. So we went in there. We took a knee as soon as we got in. We were in prayer. We prayed for Antifa. We prayed for Portland PD. We prayed for our guys. We planted our flag and we were gone. That's it.
It was just the exercise of you don't own this. This belongs to the American people. This is America, and you're not going to do this. Beautiful, Henry K. And again, folks, this has to be a special thing to march into a leftist city today. Believe me, if you're not publicly known, you're lucky. When you're a Trump supporter and they know who you are, they spit in your food, they attack you, they come after your children, and they're just such horrible people. But we have to go challenge them to draw them out, to expose them to the world. They're not the good guys, folks. They're the bad guys. They work for the globalists, the Chi-Coms, and others. But their time is here. They're being brought down right now. Stay with us.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
I was born in the soul of
this. We really are here in defiance of the globalist. I remember when I got totally banned off the internet a year ago. I felt so good seeing Joe Biggs going viral. I just said the bigger he gets, the more they're going to fry him. And I'm not bragging. Matt Drudge came here 4 years ago and said, you better build your own stuff, your own infrastructure. You're going to be taken off. And I remember calling Joe going, you got to get your own website. You got to get your own thing. And he was like, man, I'm really busy doing all these rallies and stuff. But they got him. And I'm not see I told you so. But it's scary now that one of the few places Joe Biggs and these great people can be heard so they can't be lied about is here on this show. That's why InfoWars is so special. And I've done an hour and 50 minutes of broadcast, and I haven't plugged one time. I'm just going to leave it at this. We got a big super sale, end of summer, super sale running right now, one of the biggest ever. It's got to end very soon, InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of it if you want to support the broadcast. But I just want to thank everybody. It's the World Awakens mega sale as the House of Globalist Cards collapses. Going back to Joe Biggs and a few of these other folks I want to get in here. Joe, this really is big. Because they were going to try to make it violent. They were going to try to derail it. They were going to demonize you no matter what you did. And if out of all the possible outcomes, when even the Associated Press admitted it was pretty much nonviolent except for the left, and then Antifa tore the city up after you went, I don't see how you got an outcome this good. And I said go ahead with it because it's the right thing to do. And I'm glad you did. And your folks are great, but you got to be thanking your lucky stars. But I think it's when you put God on the deed. And you didn't do it out of an arrogant thing. You're like, hey, God, please help us. God doesn't want to be a loser. And I think it's those prayers and the viewers and listeners' prayers that took us across. But let me tell you, this was a dangerous maneuver. It was the right maneuver, and it's just a very beautiful thing that happened.
Yeah, I mean, look at that shot behind you. That's one of the most iconic photos ever. That's just going to be amazing right there. I mean, that just encompasses everything that we did. I mean, that looks like total victory right there, and that's what it was. We left out of there with our heads held high, brothers and sisters, and
you invoked God, and then you had the American flag they fear so much. That's not as powerful as God, but it's been God inspired. It's another powerful symbol.
Yes.
And he should frame it and put it in his office.
Be framed.
Yeah, you guys got to get that framed.
I'll give a donation to whoever has that flag. I want to frame that sucker. Because it takes on real energy. So tell me who this, I'm going to be politically correct. Who is this beautiful young lady here?
This is my little sister right here, Adriana.
That's your little sister. Wow.
Yeah, so she runs demandfreespeech.org. And she actually does a lot of the events that I go to and speak at as well. She did the one back in D.C. And then we have another one coming up in Miami, right?
Yeah.
September 28th. So, you know, tell us about what you thought yesterday.
All right. You know, yesterday, honestly, I felt was a big victory for our side. You know, being a woman, a small woman coming in, working with these men who defend our country, who are considered terrorists in our country, because that's what the left wants. That's what these people want. They want these men who work for a living, who support their family, who do the right thing as chauvinists, respect their constitution. They are the terrorists of our country. So what we did yesterday was honestly a pillar point, you know, for everybody to look at. The media, everybody that was involved yesterday, they were able to see that Antifa chased this march. They came to us. We peacefully turned around, turned the cold cheek, walked away, and they came towards us, and they started domestically abusing their city and abusing people that they shouldn't be touching. You know, that 10-year-old daughter, she was maced. She was tasered. I mean, come on now. It's sad that a lot of people have to go in there and provoke things. Yes. But what we see out there is domestic terrorism, and this needs to stop. And that's why we do events like this. We go. We want to be loud. We need to make things grassroots heard. And if we don't, nothing's going to get changed. So that's what we're out here doing. You know, demandfreespeech.org. You know, we're going to be in Miami. Laura Loomer running for Congress. We need to grassrootly get our people into Congress to get these laws moving, you know,
I totally agree. But let me just raise this. And I'm not trying to be cosmetic here, but like Trump goes off looks, and you can be a little old man or whatever. It's the energy that you project. You look at Antifa, they look like vampire meth head demons. And then you see all the patriots. I mean, it's like Trump always says, central casting. God, look how good looking these people are. Because it's statistically true, conservatives and nationalists and patriots, they could be black, they could be Hispanic, they could be white, they could be anybody. I'm not saying I'm Mr. Movie Star, but compared to the leftist I am, why are they so ugly? I mean, what's wrong with them?
Look at these beautiful faces in here.
You know, seriously, Alex, honestly, you're not wrong. They really do have a different complexion towards them. I think it is because their demeanor and how they live their lives.
Evil.
It's evil. We are in a spiritual war. You know, this is a huge spiritual war in our country, like you've been reporting for many of years. This is what's happening. It's already begun. And we are the ones that are forefronting this. And we are not scared to make sure that people understand what we are here for. You know, the 1A, the 2A.
And by the way, notice Antifa will never talk to a camera. I've been to 100 events. You've been to 100 or more. They'll never talk. They can't talk. I get a conservative or a Christian on. It's like eloquent oratory like a volcano. It's total night and day.
Anytime you see a member of Antifa try to think for themselves and speak, you always see that one arm come and grab that person and pull them back into what they call the black block or whatever, and that guy disappears because you're not allowed to think for yourself. They just want drones. They want people who are going to stand there in masks, beat drums, spit like llamas, and swing clubs at people.
That's right. And spout communist slogans. I want to get you all back on this week. You're amazing. Let's talk to Joe Oakman here. I was CNN. I would say he's a midget because he's 8 feet tall. Joe Oakman, give us your take. You were saying you're being doxxed. Others are being doxxed. These are terrorists that go to the Senate leader's house. They go to Tucker Carlson's house. They've been to other people's houses, but I'm not going to mention it for security reasons because we don't want to let them know they've been to my house. So they've been to a bunch of Alex Jones's houses. There's like 10 Alex Joneses in town. I get calls saying, there's people banging on my door. What do I do? And I'm like, well, I'm over here with Blackwater. So, that's how crazy this has gotten. What have you gone through? You're not a victim, but these are terrorists. Tell us what's happened, Joe.
Alex, first of all, thank you for having us on and giving voice to what we're trying to do here. So thank you very much.
Appreciate
you,
man.
Large audience. So thank you. Me personally, since yesterday, overnight, in a weird way, I've kind of become Antifa's biggest, literally biggest.
They have a crush on me.
They've got some sort of weird crush on me. It's flattering, but at the same time, knowing what they do, it's dangerous. I'm not the only one, though. Anybody that gets put in front of a camera and voices their opinion for free speech and in support of this country, they become their enemy. I just happen to be a very big target at the moment. But that's not going to deter myself or any other gentleman.
Well, I mean, if you're a hunchback, green-skinned devil worshiper, you know, like a 6'7", you know, good-looking guy, whether white or black, whatever, they're scared of that. I mean, imagine, you've got what they want. You're an American. You're well-spoken. You're good-looking. You've got courage. They're meth heads that work for George Soros. So, of course, they hate you.
Actually, it's funny you say that. Quick 30-second story. When I was there at the event last night after our march was over, while Luis Enrique was being a superstar on CNN, I was approached by a self-described Antifa member, and we had a conversation. It was actually surprisingly calm, but he made comments about, look at you, your appearance, you're comfortable in your masculinity, you take care of yourself, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, is there something wrong with it? He said, well, kind of. You have this weird approach. Everyone thinks you're violent. I said, because I respect myself and my friends, like, why am I violent? And
let's just say it. The left mindset is the left-hand path. They're satanic. They don't have the power. They want us to stand down because, let's just say it, we already have the power. We built the country. We built the world. They all want to come take it. It's a spiritual issue.
Alex, it's not just myself or the gentleman in this room. It's not just every Proud Boy chapter in this country from California to Florida to Michigan. It's every red-blooded American man and woman in this country that loves their country. It's in your blood, and it motivates you to be better.
And that's why they tell us America sucks, because it doesn't suck. They want to conquer it.
No, here's the best part about the United States. Oh, you mentioned that Iwo Jima moment. That's a great segue to the military. You have three veterans here. I'm sorry. You can't conquer this country by bringing ships to our shores, but you sure can try to poison it by injecting a virus into it. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to inject a virus of hate into this country and overturn it from within. You're not going to come to our shores with any ships, but you might be able to do that. I think what we did yesterday was plant our flag in that soil and say, no, that virus isn't coming here. The United States will be defended against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
And I can't think of a better way to end the broadcast. We salute you all. Great job. Retransmission coming up, Infowars.com/show. Share this video. Share this live show. Great job, guys. We salute you. Great job to the crew and the listeners. I'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central.